We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien over on my daughter's radio station because she's the producer at AM 1130. You are the attorney. No, I keep screwing that up. You're the lawyer extraordinaire here. You're our attorney or lawyer or barrister extraordinaire. You're just extraordinarily extraordinaire.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jeff, there's a Harvard poll out. Every poll that comes out is beating up on our poor president.
Yeah. Yep. The Hill published it last, I think it was Thursday or Friday. A Harvard poll, this is in the wake of the Putin's invasion of Ukraine. You know, a lot of pundits that are, a lot of blue check marks on Twitter that are now supposedly experts on international, you know, geopolitics that were all apparently up until the last two years were experts on epidemiology, but I digress. But you know, they've been trying to blame Trump and going back to the phone call with Zelensky that led to the impeachment and all that, and saying, oh, Trump did this, and you know, Trump was Putin's puppet, and they just keep this narrative about Trump. But 62% of people surveyed said that they don't believe that Putin would have invaded Ukraine if Trump was president. And there was a New York Post story that supposedly when Trump was president told Putin, if you invade Ukraine, I'll bomb Moscow. So Trump almost had the strategy, I think, of maybe out crazy Putin. I think Putin was a little concerned as to how, you know, what would Trump do if he did something. So he just didn't do anything. Didn't want to find out.
Well, and now we have to worry about how crazy Putin is because he ordered a nuclear deterrent forces to be put on high alert yesterday. And
Putin is in a lot of trouble right now. I think that, you know, especially with the European countries freezing off this bank, his SWIFT banking system, and doing a lot of things there. What Europe is doing in Ukraine's resistance is causing problems for Putin, is what I hear the intelligence is saying. But, you know, at the end of the day, it comes back to if we were continuing to be energy independent and a net exporter of energy, we wouldn't be in this situation. The guy still has people, all these countries buying oil from Russia, you know, on a daily basis. And that was a huge tactical error day one. You know, Biden has been in the pocket of the environmental lobby, and he killed the Keystone Pipeline, and they're all pushing all the, you know, the Green New Deal and the green agenda. But that was probably the singular mistake that led us to this point.
Well, of course,
was us cutting off our energy production.
Okay, all these sanctions, the way to really hurt them, and the ruble, by the way, is taking a beating. It was down 30% today. Their markets are crashing in Russia.
Their markets didn't even open today.
Because it's so bad. But see, the real death grip would be to say, you know what, we don't need your oil, and we are going to start production in the United States, and we will provide oil to the European countries that have been getting it from you. That would be devastating to the Russian economy.
If Biden and his team really wanted to turn their approval ratings around, turn the, you know, political scene around, turn the possibly the midterm election around, they could go out and they could ditch the environmental activists and say, we're going to start producing our own energy again.
Well,
and
you know what?
Change the dynamic. But they won't do that.
No,
they won't do that.
These environmental activists, if they complain about it, they seem sympathetic to Russia. He could put them in a no-win. And most of the country does not care and want to have the, you know, the elimination of fossil fuels and let's go to batteries. Well, how do you charge these batteries?
Right.
And these batteries are cost prohibitive. And to make these batteries, we have to depend on China to get the parts for it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely absurd and ridiculous. By the way, speaking of absurd and ridiculous, Robert O'Neill, you know who he is. He's the guy who killed Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great tweet today. He said, a lot of gamers are really good at talking war on Instagram. Well, I would have started that ambush with RPGs. This is what he's saying in here. No, you would have started with, he didn't use the word poop, but poop in your pants and screams. It's really great that people that talk tough have never been involved in war at all. And yeah, and they see it on, maybe they played Call of Duty and think that they could be great military brains. It's just crazy what's going on out there.
Well, you think about, you know, great minds back on the Ukraine situation with Russia. Recall back to 2012. You know, Mitt Romney has been vindicated in this last week because remember Obama dunked on him and was making fun of him, saying that Russia was our greatest geopolitical threat, and saying, "Oh, the 1980s called and wants its foreign policy back." Well, maybe if Obama and Biden as his VP would have taken them more seriously when they were in office, we wouldn't have reached this point.
Well, all we know is, and this is fact, that when Obama was president, Putin invaded the Crimea, right? And now,
yep,
nothing had, Putin didn't do anything when Trump was president. And this is not an endorsement of Trump. It's just reality. Nothing. He didn't invade anywhere. And now this invasion into the Ukraine. And, you know, this is also a tough, it is a tough one because I understand the sanctions and I understand that a lot of these European countries do not want to get involved by sending troops because they want to protect their own people. They don't want to do this. But this is, I mentioned in the last segment, Jeff, this is, it's the most vile and notorious villain of the 21st century. I don't think we've had a villain like this. You'd have to go back to Hitler to find one, someone who's willing to kill civilians. I mean, a cancer hospital for children was bombed.
Yeah. I saw someone put, I think it was a protest, I think it was in Russia, actually, which is a ballsy protest. Someone had a sign that said, "Dear Putin, why don't you just skip to the last scene and finish yourself in your bunker?"
Well, I wonder how this is going to play out for him, because he's obviously he's not revered around the country. He is reviled. There aren't many countries. China maybe, but how many countries in the world, even his own, are having problems with? How many of are supportive of what he's doing?
No, I don't think they're very supportive. And I think that the oligarchs that kind of control him over there, these banking restrictions and sanctions are what's having an impact, and they're putting pressure on him to have these peace negotiations. So it's going to be an interesting few days here to see how this plays out.
And by the way, there's another thing here. The Ukraine is basically begging the European Union to accept them. The European Union's response, well, you have to formally apply. Are you kidding me? Just say yes. Yeah. They're part of the union.
Yeah, this is part of the problem. Remember, for a couple of years ago when Trump was president, when he met with Germany and he took them to task over, you're always wanting us to come in and use our taxpayer dollars to help you and help NATO, but you turn around and buy oil from Russia. You want to help us? You always want us to protect you from Russia, and yet you turn around and go buy oil from them.
Yes.
And these comments are coming home to roost.
Well, it's speaking of comments, we had a couple of comments the other day by our own president. Tomorrow night, he has the State of the Union address, which he has to right off the top address the Ukraine. But who knows what he'll do? He may try to ignore it entirely. But what he did Friday to try to take heat off of himself, and by the way, instead of being at the White House, optics are important. He fled to Delaware. Instead of being there to basically, and the perception being he's trying to stay on top of what's happening. Nope. He went to his vacation home. Well, his vacation, off-season, whatever you want to call it, his home in Delaware. But on Friday, to try to take away from it, he lifts the mask mandates get lifted, and he names his candidate, the one he wants to be our next Supreme Court justice.
Yep, Ketanji Brown Jackson. Now, I knew going into this, Bob, that we're not going to get a Clarence Thomas or a Neil Gorsuch or Sam Alito. We're not going to get a conservative, strict constructionist judge. You knew you were going to get more of the ones that believe in the living constitution, more on the lines of what Justice Breyer is, right, in terms of his philosophy. But there's varying degrees of qualification. And the names that were bandied about, there were three, but really it came down to two serious candidates. I was supporting him nominating Michelle Childs, and she was supported by people on both sides, Lindsey Graham, Tim Scott, the two senators from South Carolina, Jim Clyburn, the congressman from South Carolina that did a lot to help Biden get elected, and then Joe Manchin as well. All of them had advised Biden select Michelle Childs. So, of course, he goes and picks Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was supported by Ben Crump, the attorney that's always there when the cops, shoot a person of color. He's there to collect the settlement. She's had some rulings that have been overturned. That's not a good sign for a judge. At the end of the day, it's a one-for-one swap in terms of philosophy. It doesn't change the balance of power in the court, but it is disappointing that there was somebody that was possibly more qualified for this. And I still don't like how they were so blatant about saying it has to be a Black woman. You could have picked a Black woman without saying that.
Absolutely,
and
you could
have. Making it seem like
it would have made it a bigger deal.
Almost like an affirmative action. I think it diminishes from the moment, and I wish they wouldn't have done it that way.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me.
I expect her to be confirmed, that it's not going to be all the rancor that Republican nominees get, like we know from the Democrats. But still disappointing. I think Michelle Childs was a better pick.
Well, Jeff, you're getting no argument for me. All right, Jeff, thank you so much. Attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone.